This is Jay Sekulow. More developments on the situation with North Korea. Secretary of Defense Mattis speaks out.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. And as we've been talking about yesterday, we're talking about again today. Everybody's been following this, and this is the situation with North Korea. The fact is, let me tell you this, this is a serious threat. I want to start with that matrix. What is the nature of the threat? What has changed in 24 or 48 hours that caused the president to say these words to the leader of North Korea?
North Korea best not make any more threats to the United States. They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen. He has been very threatening beyond a normal statement. And as I said, they will be met with fire, fury, and frankly, power, the likes of which this world has never seen before.
So very strong statement from the President of the United States. Here's the question. What has changed in the last 24 to 48 hours? Wes?
Yeah, in the last 24 to 48 hours, through a leak to the Washington Post, we have learned that instead of the early part of 2018, that North Korea would have the ability to have a nuclear-tipped ICBM, that they presently have that technology. They have it now to miniaturize a nuclear weapon and to place it on a missile. Again, that's a leaked report supposedly from the Defense Intelligence Agency. It could be true. Perhaps it is true, but it came from a leaked source. But it has ratcheted up the threat level.
So, Skip, if the information in that leak is actually correct, that they have this miniaturized nuclear capability, what is you called it a game changer. Explain that.
Well, it is a game changer in this sense. If this is true, then the North Koreans now have the capability of firing an intercontinental ballistic missile with a nuclear weapon that could strike cities in the continental United States. They have not been able to do that up to now. We had not forecasted that. We thought it would take at least another 2 years. And now, if this is true, they can do it today. And that makes the whole situation a lot more dangerous because of the danger of miscalculation on his part and the fact that that regime is a regime where everyone tells him he can do anything. And if he miscalculates on what we can do and what we would do, it's very dangerous, and he could do something that he would regret, and we would all regret.
Do you want to take a phone call, Logan, or do you want to take a comment?
Let's go ahead and do a phone call because there's people that are on hold. We might as well get their comments out of the way. Let's have Jeff. It's in Washington online. Six, you're on the air.
Hi, Jeff. Go ahead.
Gentlemen, yes. I fear I might sound a bit redundant here, and I think you've already covered it pretty well, but a military strike by the United States obviously is going to elicit a response by North Korea.
Right.
And obviously that response would be towards South Korea. So whatever the United States military does, it has to be highly coordinated and multi-pronged.
Absolutely.
You know, debilitate their ability to launch that attack on South Korea.
And remember, the president of the newly elected president of South Korea reached out to the North Koreans for discussions, and the North Koreans said no, they weren't going to do it.
Wes? Totally rebuffed. They're not interested in that. And the caller's right. However, even though South Korea has a robust civil defense program, I participated in it, and they have bomb shelters. And we could locate their artillery pieces and their rocket launchers and begin to take them out. Before we could eliminate all of the threat, though, they would be able to inflict mass casualties on South Korea. And there's no way for us to prevent that.
All right. We're going to be back with more in just a moment. We'll be taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. If the lines are jammed, keep trying because they'll open up, Logan.
That's right.
You can also get your comments as well.
Yep, comments online.
All right.
Right back with more on Jay Sekulow.
The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're successfully challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. And we're defending Israel at the United Nations. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We are taking your calls. A lot of calls came in during the broadcast. A lot of people, obviously, very concerned about the situation with tensions, I will call it, with North Korea. And we discussed what changed. One of the things we said earlier was the fact that one direct military action that could be taken, Skip, would be if an ICBM or any type of missile is launched from North Korea, is that the United States military operations take that down.
Yeah, if we have the capability to do it, if our forces are positioned properly, the direction they fire it, and if it goes over friendly territory, there's no reason why we should not be able to take that down and be fully in accordance with international law.
Does that send a message to us? I would think, again, both Wes Smith and Skip Ash have served as colonels in the United States Army in Korea, so they know the peninsula well. Mm-hmm. Would that send a message of deterrence? To a rational thinker, it would, but
yes,
this guy's not rational.
It would send a strong message of deterrence. It could possibly and likely would provoke Kim Jong-un so that he would take counter-military action of some limited sort.
Yep.
However, if he takes that kind of action, that's when it really begins to escalate. And Jay, as bad as this situation is now, if he has 60 nuclear devices or 20, as they said earlier,
right,
and they have tested a couple of missiles successfully, the longer we wait, the worse it gets.
Yeah, well, strategic patience has not worked.
Yeah, and right now in Alaska and in California, we have anti-missile defense systems that can take out ICBMs.
Yeah.
We've tested it twice.
Do we have those in the peninsula region?
No, we do not. But we have them on the west coast of America, and we've tested them twice recently, and they worked every time.
Let me ask this question, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, because it's the question people have. That's great in California, but you got a missile then incoming to the United States. So it has to work because the risk factor is gigantic.
Exactly.
So here's my question, Skip. Do we have that capability in region, or can we get that capability in region?
Well, we were introducing the system called THAAD, the Theater High Altitude Air Defense
right.
System. Once that's set up, that should be able to handle the vast majority of missiles. There's always a potential problem of leakage, depending on the volume that's fired at one time, especially into an area like South Korea, because they have so many short-range missiles they could fire at the same time. But that THAAD system, once up and running, should be able to handle the vast majority
yep.
of those. And it would also help defend the Japanese against similar missiles if they were fired against Japan, because we have
yep.
bases there and the Japanese are our allies.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, very good. Let's go ahead and go right back to the phones, 800-684-3110.
Yeah, let's go back. Let's go to John, who's calling in Tennessee on line four. You're on the air, John.
Hey, John.
Hello, Mr. Sekulow. How
yes.
are you, sir?
Good.
Good, good, good. Listen, thanks to Skip and Wes there for y'all's service. Appreciate you guys immensely. My question, sir, is regards to maybe a sleeping giant that we ain't paying attention to. You know, is, just as a question, I've never heard anybody answer it yet, is North Korea in somehow fashionably relation with in Iran?
Yeah, so you bring up the question of their Iran-North Korea connection. We know there's a Russian-Iran connection, so then we want to explore the Russian, the Iranian-North Korea connection, and it's there. I mean, they are trading partners. We've studied this. They're trading partners, and weaponry exchange is not uncommon either.
I think you put your finger right on it, that these are two of the bad actors on the world scene, and they are cooperating very much. The Iranians want a nuclear weapon, and they can buy one at some point in time from the North Koreans. And the North Korean economy is a basket case. They need oil. They need a lot of other things, so they can give technology in return for these needs for their society. So, yes, you're absolutely right. And the danger then becomes if both of these powers all at once gin up issues to try to distract the United States or divide our effort to try to deal with two at once. I mean, that's something that our leaders have to be ready for, and they are preparing for.
I want to read a report that just came, a statement that just came out from Secretary of Defense Mattis. The United States and our allies have demonstrated capabilities and unquestionable commitment to defend ourselves from an attack. Kim Jong-un should take heed of the United Nations Security Council's unified voice and statement from governments the world over who agree that the DPRK poses a threat to global security and stability. The DPRK, that's the North Korean government, must choose to stop isolating itself and stand down in pursuit of nuclear weapons. The DPRK should cease any consideration of actions that would lead to the end of its regime and the destruction of its people. He goes on to say President Trump was informed of the growing threat last December, and on taking office, his first orders to me emphasized the readiness of our ballistic missile defense and nuclear deterrent forces. While our State Department is making every effort to resolve this global threat through diplomatic means, it must be noted that the combined Allied militaries now possess the most precise, rehearsed, and robust defensive and offensive capabilities on Earth. The DPRK regime's actions will continue to be grossly overmatched by ours and will lose any arms race or conflict it initiates. Very, very strong words from our Secretary of Defense, which also shows the nature, Wes, of the scope of what we're dealing with here. So if you think it's hyperbole coming out or overreaction, this is from Secretary of Defense Mattis. Very, very strong words.
The threat level of this crisis, anyway, just got ratcheted up quite a bit. And coming from Jim Mattis, he is a no-nonsense guy. He's not given to hyperbole. He's a straight talker. This is a clear warning, and it's a throwback to what President Trump said several months ago. He said, we will not allow North Korea to have nuclear intercontinental ballistic missiles. The president was unequivocal about it.
Yep.
And this statement seems to be alluding to that we absolutely, he says they have to stand down in their pursuit of nuclear weapons. They're not likely to do that. And this seems to say that if you don't, we will act.
So your standpoint, I'll go back to the phones in a minute here a little bit. I want to obviously get comments on this. So, Skip, your reaction to Secretary of Defense Mattis' statement is very strong statements, underscores the DPRK should cease any consideration of actions that would lead to the end of its regime and the destruction of its people. Strong words now from the Secretary of Defense.
Absolutely. And remember, one of the things I think that the regime in North Korea wants to maintain is its a continual existence. I mean, one of the threats that the Chinese were concerned about was whether we would try to take them out and destroy the regime. If they had, if they realize that their regime will be destroyed if they take this type of action, then they may. Again, this is not a rational regime. They may consider count the cost and stand down.
All right, Logan, let's go ahead. And we're taking calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We've got a line open. We encourage you to make that call.
Yeah, give us a call now. Danny's calling in Illinois on line 5. You're on the air, Danny.
Hi, Danny.
Hi.
Hi.
I love your show, guys.
Thanks.
Go ahead.
Hey, my question is, if China has so much power in that region,
yep,
why can't we temporarily hold trade from China until this a North Korean thing gets resolved.
Well, the impact of a trade freeze on the United States would be dramatic to the United States and to world economies. So it's one thing to talk about that. It's quite another to actually implement it.
It is. And the president has even alluded to this recently about that, you know, we could start doing some trade sanctions, semi-sanctions with China. But you're right. It would affect the U.S. economy, the global economy. It's probably not something we want to do.
People are asking.
Wish we could.
Are asking about, do you think Iran and North Korea are working together?
Like formally?
And how does that work? Yeah.
So, Skip, let's talk about a little bit more on the Iranian-North Korea link here, because people heard the comment, and these are two dangerous regimes. What do we know that we've been able to uncover? What do we know about their working relationship?
There's intelligence that's been made public that they have been sending delegations back and forth, that there has been North Koreans have been in Iran itself doing some of the things around their nuclear program. And I think that some of the designs of the missiles that the Iranians are using are very close to the missile designs used by the North Koreans. Of course, theirs mimic the Russians and the Chinese, so there's a lot of sharing going on.
Yep.
But I think right now the Iranians would very much like to have us tied up in a number of places, because that weakens us. The Chinese and the Russians like that too. I mean, we have to recognize a lot of the non-cooperation is because they're very happy when we have to look multiple directions at the same time, and there are crises everywhere.
Yeah, well, look, let's face it, when you're dealing with these regimes, you got to think nine-dimensionally, because they're thinking nine-dimensionally. So this is part of what you have to do. We're going to go right back to our Logan, when do we have time?
Yep, only a minute and a half left. We can take a quick comment maybe as we head into the break.
And we'll take more calls when we come back at 800-684-3110.
Yeah, this comment just came in. She said we need to pray for peace.
Well, listen, I'm speaking for myself here, but I know I'm speaking for most of our audience. Nobody wants a military conflict.
No.
I mean, nobody wants to send our men and women in harm's way. Nobody wants to see the collateral damage that could occur to civilians in South Korea if military action would happen. But let me tell you what else we can't. We can't have North Korea launching any kind of nuclear device at Guam or any place else in the region or around the world. You can't tolerate it. So I see the statements of Secretary of Defense Mattis. This is not he was a general that did not mince words, and he's being as clear can be, Wes.
Yeah.
This is a real threat, folks.
This is unequivocal. Jim Mattis does not make idle threats.
Yep.
We learned that when he was a commander in Iraq. And when he was part of Southern Command, this in many ways is more serious than any statement from President Trump or Secretary Tillerson.
Yeah, I completely agree. All right, we're going to come back with more, including your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Also, let me encourage you to stay engaged with us on our social media platforms as well.
That's right. You can find us online. Or you can find us on Facebook, Periscope, or on ACLJ.org.
Yeah, and do stay engaged, folks. And don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. Back with your calls in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're successfully challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. And we're defending Israel at the United Nations. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.
Welcome back, everybody. We are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. The issue, North Korea. That statement, I need probably to reread some of this to you if you're just joining us. This is from Secretary of Defense Mattis. The United States and our allies have demonstrated capabilities and an unquestionable commitment to defend ourselves from an attack. Kim Jong-un should take heed of the United Nations Security Council's unified voice and statements from the governments world over who agree that the DPRK poses a threat to global security and stability. The DPRK, by the way, is, of course, the North Korean government. The DPRK must choose to stop isolating itself and stand down in its pursuits of nuclear weapons. The DPRK should cease any considerations of actions that would lead to the end of its regime and the destruction of its people. Let me read that last sentence again. The North Korean government should, quote, cease any consideration of actions that would lead to the end of its regime and the destruction of its people. That's from the Secretary of Defense of the United States, Jim Mattis. All right, let's go right back to the phones.
All right, yeah, a lot of people have been holding for a while. Let's go to Todd in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thanks for holding, Todd. You're on the air.
Hey, Todd.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to make a comment about shooting a nuclear missile out of the air. It'll maybe alleviate some fears of your listeners. If you shoot down a nuclear missile out of the air, it will not trigger a nuclear explosion. There's a lot of things that have to happen for a nuclear bomb to actually work. It's not like high explosive. It's not filled with TNT. So shooting it down is a good course of action. Doesn't mean there won't be other problems, sure, like retrieving the warhead or retrieving the bomb from the bottom of the ocean or whatever, but it will not trigger a nuclear explosion.
So, Todd, you sound like you know a lot about this. Are you in this? Are you in the defense field?
I am not. I just know a lot about science, and I've done a lot of research, and you know, science and things like that are a very big hobby of mine.
Well, it's important to know. I think people come in and they get, you know, terrified of these things. It's important to know the facts.
Over the years, we've had a number of aircraft that have crashed with nuclear bombs on board, and the bombs did not detonate.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and go to Shad, who's calling in Lafayette, Indiana, on line three.
And we are taking your calls at 800.
Yeah, we've got a couple lines open. 1-800-684-3110. Call us now.
Hi, Shad.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead with your comment.
Well, Todd might have just answered part of it. I was wondering, is it possible for ICBM to train a nuke to go off above our country? And if so, what would happen? Would it be like an EMP attack at all?
So, Skip, you want to take in other words, if a nuclear device on an ICBM were to come over towards the United States, would detonate before it hit ground?
Yeah. In fact, the EMP, there's a whole procedure for doing that. EMPs are considered to be very dangerous and could be very catastrophic.
Explain to everybody what an EMP is.
An EMP is electromagnetic pulse. What happens is when a nuclear bomb would go off, it would release certain types of rays, primarily gamma rays, which would then fry all the electrical systems that are not protected. And that could take down our power system in the United States. It could burn out all the computers that are hooked up to a power system, wherever it could be. And that, and since our military is so technology dependent, could have an immediate short-term impact on our ability to carry out operations. Supply, for instance, is all done electronically these days. Communications, satellites, all that type of stuff could be destroyed or made inoperable for extended periods
of time. All right, so let me say this, Wes. Let me ask you this question, because, Skip, that was a very good answer. And this is what people are thinking about, and that's the reason we're taking your calls. Again, phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Go ahead, Logan, you
got a good comment from Bart. Actually asked, is Iran a threat to Israel? Any of this happen, any connection to Israel, what's going on in Iran and what's going on in Korea?
Yeah, you know, Iran is always a threat to Israel.
Obviously, yeah.
I mean, and so
I guess this combined efforts.
Look, I mean, I can't say that there's a North Korea threat aimed at Israel directly, Skip. I mean, but Iran, yes, no question.
Right. The only threat would be if Iran got a lot of its nuclear know-how from the North Koreans. You know, these are strange bedfellows. You have this very, very conservative religious people, and you have atheists cooperating because they have common interests. And that's what politics does. It makes strange bedfellows.
Yeah, well, there's the Sun Tzu in The Art of War had a lot to say about that, actually. But I mean, it does raise a point of who the allies are here.
Oh, exactly.
You know, Russia, and I will say this, Russia and China signed on to the UN resolution, but the UN resolution doesn't seem to be producing much, which typically is the problem with UN resolutions.
Right, right. And some of the business dealings and the trade and the finances that were already in place, these new UN resolutions do not take those down. They allow, it's sort of, they're grandfathered in. It's going forward that you have more limitations on trade and finance. As far as Iran goes, it is a threat to Israel. They have the ability to get this technology from Korea. They have teams of scientists that already live in one another's country.
Right, absolutely.
And the most telling thing, if you want to know whether or not Iran is a threat to Israel, on each of their missiles that they fire, on every missile is printed on the side of the missile, death to Israel. That's on their missiles. Yeah. I think that pretty well, you know.
Yeah, it kind of gives you the nature of the threat. Yeah. All right, we're taking more calls at 1-800-684-3110. Surprisingly, we got a line or two open. So if you want to give us a call and talk to us, 1-800-684-3110.
All right, let's go to Marcus in Longview, Washington. You're on the air.
Hi, Marcus. Go ahead.
Hi, Jay. The question is, if we go into North Korea, what is Russia going to do over in Europe while we're involved in North Korea?
So let's talk about the Russian reaction to action in North Korea. It depends on the nature of what it is, depends on what our response is. But Secretary Mattis is sending out a very strong signal. So, Skip, go to you first, then to Wes. If we were to take some action, whether it was, as they say here, actions that would lead to the end of its regime and the destruction of its people, what are the Russians going to do?
Well, I think the Russians will always take advantage of targets of opportunity, but I don't think they're going to do anything serious. If you're talking about going into the Baltic countries and retaking Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, things like that, I don't think they're going to do that because there's still a NATO alliance that is there. Now, whether they take advantage of eastern Ukraine and take a few more chunks there, they may do that because the Western world seems to condemn it but not have enough interest in doing anything about it. But they will take care. They will take advantage of targets of opportunity that they think they can get away with if we are firmly engaged elsewhere.
What do you think, Wes?
Yeah, they're opportunistic, most definitely. They will complain loud and long if we do that as well. You know, one of the interesting things, and we still have the most powerful military on earth, and I'm confident we can handle multiple scenarios at the same time. But one of the things that has changed in my military career, we used to practice and train and equip so that we could fight a war on two different fronts. And that capability was greatly diminished during the previous administration. One of the things that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs and Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis have talked about is rebuilding our military so we can go back to that posture where we could fight two wars at the same time.
Yep. All right.
All right. Let's go to Diana, who's calling in California on line 4. Diana, you're on the air.
Hi, Diana.
Oh, hi. Hi. My question is if North Korea tries to strike the United States, do we need congressional approval? Do they need to declare war?
Do we need an article of war declaration or a declaration of war from the United States Congress? The answer on a preemptive matter, Skip, would be no.
That's absolutely right. The president has the right to act to defend the United States.
Right, as commander-in-chief. It's an Article II power of the United States Constitution. Primary obligation is to defend and protect the people of the United States. Well, that's going to do it for the first 30 minutes of this broadcast. We've got more on the situation with North Korea and other developments. Again, you got Secretary Mattis now speaking out, the president, Secretary Tillerson, a lot of moving parts. We've got a lot more ahead. Logan's going to let you know how you can get the next 30 minutes of the broadcast.
To each and every day online on social media and also ACLJ.org. And you can get us live if you want to hear audio feed on the ACLJ app. It's available in the App Store if you have an iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, or you get the channel in the Roku store. All right, we'll be right back with more second half hour of Jay Sekulow.
The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.
begin to comprehend. Awaken fear just to think how far some people will descend.
And what is now has been before. Over and over it's been.
We've been talking about the situation with North Korea. We played what Rex Tillerson had to say, which you got, remember, diplomacy on one hand, the president coming out very forceful here. People have been asking, Logan, I mean, we're getting a lot of questions, what is it that we should do? I mean, people are saying drop pamphlets so the North people, the North Korean people know what's going on here. But that, we're seeing a lot of that kind of question on what do we do next.
That's right. A lot of people are asking questions like that, and people are asking also just kind of weighing the threats and,
yeah,
you know, should this be where our attention is right now?
All right, so this is a good point. So let me start with the weighing the threats. Skip first, then to Wes. Skip, how serious is this threat, and how significant has been the change in the last 24 to 48 hours?
I think the change in the last 48 hours, if true, is a game changer in the sense that now the North Koreans would have the ability to send an ICBM to hit the continental United States. That's significant. The issue, though, is, to me, the major issue is, I don't think he wants to commit suicide. So the issue is a miscalculation on his part. He's surrounded by yes men. Remember, he killed his own uncle because his uncle suggested that he had made an error and should change a policy, and he had his own uncle taken out and killed.
These are not rational actors.
His closest advisor, and he's surrounded by people who tell him that he's wonderful and everything.
Indeed.
Remember, have you seen the pictures when he talks and the generals are taking down every word he says?
Right.
This is the type of society he's in, and he cannot be wrong by definition in his own sight. So the issue then becomes, will he miscalculate, especially with respect of misunderstanding the situation of our president?
So, Colonel, that's you heard from right now Colonel Skip Ash, retired Army, also served in Korea. Now you're going to hear from Colonel Wes Smith, if you're just joining us, also retired U.S. Army, also served in Korea. Let's follow up on what Skip just said.
I think the biggest threat we face right now today is miscalculation on the part of North Korea. And I think it's twofold, as Skip alluded to. He is surrounded by sycophants who tell him, his people tell him all the time that he is invincible, that he is the most powerful man in the world.
He's a deity. They view him as deity.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They tell him that he has the power to destroy the world.
Yep.
If Kim Jong-un believes that, then there is no telling what his actions might be. The second miscalculation, though, would be at a lower level, some military officer in the North Korean army thinking that they're doing a favor for the dear leader, and that they attack a U.S. vessel or U.S. aircraft, and that snowballs into a much greater crisis. But Jay, miscalculation is the big threat hanging over the situation right now.
All right, we're going to take your calls when we come back from the break. Also, let me tell you what else we're going to do. We're going to get into the specifics. We talked about one thing that can be done if they do another one of these missile launches is for the United States military to knock that missile down. Some would say, well, that's an act of war. But under the international laws of war, that's a defensible act. That's a preemptive strike. The Israelis did it in 67. I mean, this happens. But we have to take some action here. And we're talking about what those alternatives are and what it means. The biggest risk is civilian casualties in Seoul, South Korea. I mean, there's millions and millions of people there. And the ramifications of that are really serious. So there's a lot of saber rattling going on by Kim Jong-un. But the question will be, what would he really do and what is he capable of doing? This is not a rational actor. So they don't think rationally. So if you're trying to have a rational discussion, this isn't rational. You know, you're dealing with some regimes, it's rational, maybe wrong, but rational. This is not that. We're going to take your calls and comments when we come back from the break. We're going to get into what the options are, how it looks. Our number is 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court.
were successfully challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal courts, and were defending Israel at the United Nations. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
We talked about initially this knocking down, next time they launch a weapon, a missile, knocking it down. Skip, what's the other things we can do that are within the realm of possibility? If you were advising the president, what would you tell him?
Oh, I would tell him that we would begin to do a number of things. First, we would begin to make sure that we always had an airborne command post up in the air now, like we did during the Cold War. We now have a missile threat against us. I would make sure that the SINCPAC, the Commander-in-Chief of the Pacific, would begin to flow naval and marine and army assets towards the Korean Peninsula and make sure that they're there. Some I would make sure would be visible so they know they're on their way. Some I would make sure they're not visible and they just show up. And those things to make sure that they understand that we take this seriously. The president is moving forces into place to be usable should it come to that. And then we would continue to put pressure on the Chinese diplomatically and perhaps economically to make sure that they understand that we're serious and they better take some action with their client state, because if it comes to war, they cannot be unaffected by that.
What would you, if you're advising the president, Wes, what would you do?
Exactly the same thing. We need a strong, an unprecedented show of force in the Western Pacific and on the Korean Peninsula. This will do two things. It will continue to put Kim Jong-un on notice. If we have thousands and thousands of sailors, Marines, and soldiers, Air Force personnel flooding the Korean Peninsula, it sends a strong message to him that we are not playing. But in addition to that, it sends a strong message to China. China thus far, they've played both sides of this, and they are an ally somewhat, but not a reliable one.
Right.
And even now, they continue to trade with North Korea. I think if they saw a military buildup on the peninsula, it would induce China to really rein in North Korea and start really working with us more actively.
So we're giving you options that we think should be under consideration. Let's go ahead and take some calls. Our phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. Logan, you want to take a call or comment?
Let's go to Ryan in Arizona on line one. You're on the air.
Hi, Ryan.
Hey, guys. 2 points. Number one, we got to still remember this is all being brought up because of a leak, I think you said.
Absolutely.
Which is very, very concerning to
me.
So the tail is wagging the dog here. We do not want to go to war when an agency in the defense is leaking. That's going to be a big issue.
First of all, I'll let you finish, but let me say this. I'm outraged on the leak as well. I mean, and you're right. It's kind of gotten glossed over in all this. This was a leak from our intelligence agencies about a threat in North Korea that they're leaking could impact the United States in our nation state. So, you know, and unfortunately for it's just fact, a lot of these intelligence information we've had has not always been correct. So I don't think actions are going to be taken based on just one incident or one report. I think it's a cumulative issue here. And we got the threats coming out of North Korea. And we've seen what, and we have seen, Ryan, what they've been able to do. But I'm with you. The leaks, again, the leaks are the primary start here. And that should raise a concern with everybody. But go, I didn't want to interrupt you there, but go ahead and finish.
No worries. Secondly, as far as a solution, we've got, no one's talking about cyber abilities. If you remember, yeah, Stuxnet, we turned off Iran's centrifuges. So we could literally start turning off power in cities in North Korea until a demand is met.
Yeah, so here's one of the problems. I'm going to put up on, you're not going to be able to see this on radio, but I'll describe it to everybody. But I'm going to put it up for our TV audience, those watching on Facebook, Periscope, Roku, Apple TV, wherever you may be watching. And I'll describe it for our radio audience. The attack on the power grid problem is when you look at the amount of power in North Korea and the limited aspects of it, it is very, very limited, as we will see in a moment here. And what happens is, where that would have a major effect, say, in the United States, the ramifications for that, Skip, over there are not the same.
No, I mean, they do have a capability, but the capability is very limited. Now, perhaps the caller would say this, well, you could shut them right down. The problem is the society does not depend on those things, and therefore they can still be very dangerous without that.
Yeah, so, I mean, the power grid is, look, cybersecurity and cyber attacks are part of arsenals of warfare right now. There's no question about it. Mm-hmm. But you're a little bit different in, that doesn't mean you can't affect in the computer capabilities of the military. Mm-hmm. But to the populace, to kind of draw out the populace on this, not so easy to do.
It's a very backward country. Most of the people do not have running water or power in their homes and businesses throughout North Korea. You know, unless you're a state official living in Pyongyang, you have limited resources like that. And, you know, as we look at this, it's a different kind of enemy that we're facing. In the past, there has been some conjecture that we have impacted some of their early missile launches with cyber attacks because they failed on the launch pad or right after takeoff. So that is an option, but that cannot be the only option. No, it's just too unreliable.
All right, let's go ahead and take another phone call.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Stephen in Virginia Beach, Virginia. You're on the air, Stephen.
Hey, Stephen.
Hello. Hey, how you doing? I'm Steve McPherson. My uncle served in Korea, and I've been in the Army myself. And I was just wondering, I did hear some comments. If we do a preemptive airstrike, would that slow him down at all, or just a flyover, anything like that? Aida just hitting his missiles. Would that slow him down? And would China and Russia get involved in the situation?
Well, I mean, you got the whole Russia-China issue, and they are a quasi-ally of North Korea here. Let's go ahead and answer that one, Skip. What's your thought on that?
Well, I think, depending on what we're targeting, I think the Chinese may hold back, and I don't think the Russians will do anything either if we don't threaten them in that instance. But the issue is, we have to understand that if we go in and actually attack either their missile sites or anything else, that could very well trigger a conventional war with South Korea. And Seoul is within, you know, traditional conventional artillery range of the North Koreans, and therefore it could trigger a wider war. So whatever we decide to do, we have to do thoroughly, and we have to do with a great deal of planning so that we can minimize civilian casualties in South Korea.
Wes, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that there are always options, Jay, but in this instance, there are no good options. And the options, some are worse than others. But any military action that we take, if we were to go in and do just limited airstrikes on some of their military facilities, more than likely, they're going to respond militarily with a counterattack across the DMZ and the Korean War, which officially has never ended. We're in an armistice, will fire back up again. And so we have to weigh that out carefully. One of the options is either an all-out military attack or limited strikes.
Yeah,
but we have to be prepared for a counterattack if we do that.
Yeah, let me go ahead and put up the, for those that are watching on TV, we talked about the attack zones. You see how South Korea has got lighting grids all over the peninsula. And then you go to North Korea, and it's spotty is an understatement. Mm-hmm. I mean, Pyongyang, you got a little bit, and then it's rural without power. I mean, so it's not, now militarily, it doesn't mean you can't militarily attack the various computers. Is that a viable option? Skip.
Most of the conventional weapons that they're using are not don't need they don't need electronic computers. They have what they call computers, but these are not electronic computers, and therefore it's not going to be subject to that. So it's going to be only the more sophisticated equipment. Perhaps some of their aircraft and things like that are going to be subject to those.
All right, so let's go ahead and take another comment or call. 1-800-684-3110 is the number. That's 800-684-3110.
Yeah, let's go to Jay, who's calling in Rhode Island on line 5.
Hi, Jay. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you to ACLJ for your work. Thanks. You to the two colonels for their service and their input. And just like they're inputting you, I'm assuming General Mattis, General Kelly, and General McMaster has helped prepare that statement that Trump gave that had a collateral effect of telling China, you're affected more. I think Colonel Smith said it. You're affected more. This is what we're going to do. If you don't do something, you have more influence. Is that a fair statement?
Well, look, I don't know who was involved in the crafting of the president's statement. I do know this. It was a very strong statement because you're dual messaging here. You had Rex Tillerson send out a message that was telling the American people this isn't an imminent threat as far as he is concerned, but it was a diplomatic move. The diplomacy is going on with Russia and China. But then the president had to send a very strong message to the North Koreans because this strategic patience and this capability of the North Koreans to take action, which they have, and to do nothing is resulting in an emboldened regime. Wes?
Yeah, this is the time to take bold, decisive action. We cannot back away from this. Our national security is on the line. That doesn't mean that we have to attack North Korea or that we have to go to war, but we need bold action signs and symbols that are hard for the world to miss, hard for North Korea, China, and Russia to miss, to say that we are not playing. We are serious about that. And it goes back to some of the things we've talked about, cyber attacking, you know, some of their missile systems, shooting down their missiles, and a huge military buildup there. And it's regrettable, Jay, that we're having to do this. No one hates, you know, military action more than military people, and Skip and I can relate to that. But this is the time to stand up in order to try and prevent something that is far worse down the line.
All right, we are going to be taking more of your calls and comments. We come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110, and there's a lot of ways for you to engage with us. Logan's going to go over those right now.
That's right. Phone lines may be jammed, but you can get your comments in on social media, and some of the phone lines will open up. We're in the screening process now, about a handful of them, so keep giving us a call. Phone lines, though, are jammed right now. 1-800-684-3110. Get your comments in on social media. We'll take some of those during the break and during the show. We'll be right back with more in the last segment of Jay Sekulow Live.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com.
The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're successfully challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. And we're defending Israel at the United Nations. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.
We're going to go right back to our phones because there's a lot of calls coming in. So many calls are coming on.
Yeah, so
this,
keep calling in. All right, yeah, keep calling. And if you want to watch that, we're going to be broadcasting that on social media, I believe, right?
Yep.
Sorry? Yes. All right, yep. So if you're on Facebook, if you're on ACLJ.org, you probably need to log over to our Facebook page.
Yep.
Sometimes that auto shuts down. Let's go to James in Indianapolis, Indiana, on line 3. You're on the air, James. Thanks for holding.
Hey, James.
Hi. I have a two-part question. If we decide to start shooting down the missiles, the ICBMs as they go up, what would be the collateral damage for that, and what would be the collateral damage for if they had a nuclear warhead on them?
Okay, so you raised two. Well, first of all, the collateral damage if they had a nuclear warhead on them would be less than the damage that the nuclear warhead would cause when it landed. Especially if it was over the seas or something. So, I mean, that's a dramatic. If they have a nuclear warhead, we're going to do everything we can to take it down. I mean, I would think, right, Wes?
Right. Yeah. And missiles are easier to take down right after they're launched or just before they hit. And hopefully, we would have naval assets with anti-ship missiles and anti-missile defense systems in South Korea,
I would think,
that we could attack their missiles shortly after launch.
Yeah. Hey, Skip, do we have that capability now? Can we do that now without moving more armaments or troops in? Can we do that now if we needed to?
I know that there are ships capable of doing that. Whether they're now positioned where they should be in that region, I can't tell you.
All right. And of course, you can get them there. It's not that difficult. All right. We're taking your calls, 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Logan just mentioned we're going to stay after and take some more calls because a lot of calls are coming in on this. So you keep calling, and for Facebook and Periscope, you keep watching this on Facebook and Periscope and sharing it with your friends. You can stay engaged, and those listening on radio can go right over to our website, or probably best bet would be Facebook or Periscope, Logan.
Yeah, exactly. If you're on, don't go to ACLJ.org because that actually resets down right at the hour. So, but for you guys, log over to Facebook.com/JSeculum on Twitter and on Periscope.
All right.
We're broadcasting live there right now, and we will for potentially another half hour plus. So let's do it. Let's go to Andy, who's calling in Indiana Online 2. You're on the air.
Hi, Andy. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello there. God bless you guys for your
Thanks.
Work. I just wanted to make a comment and maybe a question. I can't imagine that there aren't several plans already, on paper ready to be implemented. This can't be off the cuff. What do we do now? So I just wanted to say that. And again, God bless you guys for your reporting and for the work you do and all your work.
Thank you. All right, so let's talk about that because you raised a really good question. That is, this is not coming as a shock to anybody. So from a military planning standpoint, Wes, there's been a number of scenarios game planned here.
Absolutely. I learned from my 3 years on the Army staff at the Pentagon. We have contingency plans for every imaginable scenario. We probably have contingency plans for invading Canada. I mean, I say that tongue in cheek. The Army routinely has multiple contingency plans for a situation in any and every part of the world. So this, whatever we do, would not be off the cuff.
So, Skip, you have been involved in some of this war games and planning. Take us inside. What would be happening in a situation like this? Would the military leadership be looking at the options? Are they looking at them right now?
They are looking at them right now. What they would be doing, they're saying, okay, there's various stages of military force that can be applied. What would we need for each level? What could we achieve with that? And then they seek to get the commander's guidance. The commander says, this is what I want to achieve. You tell me how to achieve it. And they go back and they say, okay, given this goal, we have these forces available. How are we going to do that? They develop a plan. It's then game planned among all the services, and they come together with a final plan approved by the commander.
And by the way, this is coming to you from two of our team that are both served in Korea as officers in the United States Army, colonels. All right, let's go ahead and take another comment or questions. So 1-800-684-3110, you keep calling with questions you might have.
Yeah, there's obviously comments that are coming in. People are asking, again, why are we not the ones sending the missiles over there right now? And we've talked about this, I feel like, ad nauseum for people that are just starting to watch. Maybe we can kind of regroup.
So why are we not?
Why are we not preemptively striking?
Okay, so because the risk of preemptive strike, and not that we won't preemptively strike, by the way, and I'm sure that's part of what's being analyzed, but the risk of a preemptive strike, Skip, let me start with Skip on this, is the collateral damage to civilians in Seoul, Korea, for instance. We'll put that back up. We'll put it on our screen for our Facebook and Periscope audience so you could see that I mean, the border of North Korea to the main populous areas like Seoul is not far. So no, this is one peninsula. Go ahead.
Yeah, Seoul is a huge city, and it's within conventional artillery range of the North Korean military forces. So if anything were to happen, they can instantaneously bring Seoul under fire. So the issue is no military person wants to go to war if it can be avoided. So you want to go into it very carefully, but when you go into it, you want to go into it with what you need to win and to win decisively. And that's what is being considered right now. The president will have to determine what criteria will trigger it, and then the military will execute, and they will execute it as quickly and as decisively as they can.
There's interesting comments coming up, though. People saying we should really try diplomacy first here. Let's stick with diplomacy. Let's not get into another conflict. The problem here is diplomacy so far has not resulted in any success, and the Russians and the Chinese, who should be part of this equation, so far have not done anything. Now, I'm sure there's messaging going on right now between our State Department and the Kremlin, our State Department and Beijing about all this.
Yeah, diplomacy has not worked. It has been a complete failure for several decades. And basically, if we agree to direct talks and negotiation with North Korea, that is the same thing as saying we are accepting that they will be a nuclear power with intercontinental ballistic missiles, because that's negotiation amounts on that particular issue to acquiescence. We're going to accept them into that exclusive club of nations.
Yep. Let's take another comment, Logan, if you got one. And also, let me say this for those watching on Facebook and Periscope, and if you're listening on radio, go ahead and go over to our American Center for ACLJ Facebook page, or over to Periscope, because we're going to continue. We got a lot of calls coming, and we're going to get to. We want to be able to answer these calls. We got our military experts here. We want to be able to give you answers. So, again, stay on the line if you're on the line. If you want to call in, lines are jammed now, but they'll open up in a few minutes at 800-684-3110.
Yeah, a lot of people are asking. We get a comment in real quick that just says, what's sort of the timeline here? How long do you think this is going to happen?
Well, this
is our military strong enough to defeat North Korea?
Yeah, so militarily, Skip, we're strong enough to defeat North Korea. That's not a question. Timeline is, how long do you let this go if you're an officer engaged in looking at this? I mean, what's the next move here?
Well, the next move has to be the president making a determination saying, if we achieve this level, we've got to go. And the military then will figure out, they'll say, okay, we estimate that to occur about this time frame, so we need to build up our forces and get ready, position ourselves to be able to execute when the president says go.
Real quick, he was.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. My hope, sincerely, is that we can avoid military action. But
right.
if we have to go that route, we need to have overwhelming force, and of course we would defeat them rather handily.
All right, well, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. We are going to continue this discussion. So many calls are coming in. We encourage you on Facebook and Periscope, share this with your friends. More people get involved in the conversation. And Logan, a lot of ways to stay engaged throughout the day.
That's right. If you do lose us here, you can find us online always, ACLJ.org, all your social media outlets. Follow at Jay Sekulow, at ACLJ, at Logan Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow. He's not here. I'll still give him a plug. And you can download the ACLJ app and subscribe to the Jay Sekulow podcast. But once again, the show continues on. We're going to do some more content online. Find us on social media now.
The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.